Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Janice Cromer, Director of America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. I have with us from our home port crew, Beth McHugh. Steve, unfortunately, had an operation last week, and he's doing really well, but he's just not able to do the radio show yet, so hopefully he'll be back by next week. Do we have our guest host, Captain Chris and Elise Caldwell?
Yes, we're here, Janice. Good morning.
Good morning. Captains Chris and Elise are from Captain Chris Yacht Services, and they are going to talk to us about building confidence as a cruising couple. Why don't you take it from here, Chris and Elise?
Okay, well, thanks again for inviting us to speak today about building cruising confidence as a couple. Chris and I have been together as a couple, cruising for over 20 years, been married almost 30, and we lived aboard full-time for 15 years. So we've got a little bit of experience to share with you and let you know what works and sometimes what doesn't. So far, we haven't killed each other. We actually still like each other. We really like cruising together. And so maybe we thought today we could help a few couples out there who are thinking about cruising together or who are cruising together and would like to make it work a little better for them. And before we really get into the meat of it today, we wanted to just thank Sarah Anderson at Harbor Isles Marina because, once again, she's letting us use her landline. We still are fighting having landlines because we've been cruisers for so long.
I just want to interject, too, as Chris and Elise talk about building confidence, if anyone has any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. The toll-free guest call-in number is 877-497-1815. Chris and Elise, are you ready to take questions if they come?
Absolutely, anytime.
Fantastic, thanks.
Okay, Chris, you want to take it from here?
Okay, well, let's start off by talking about truly focusing on building cruising confidence as a couple. It's all about teamwork, and that starts with practice, not assigned jobs. As they say in the sports world, there's no I in teamwork, so that's the same as in cruising. Well,
yeah.
Except there's two I's in cruising, so we'll just skip that part. Anyway, there's no I in teamwork. As a cruising couple, you want to work together to learn each other's strengths and more favored task. Notice I didn't say weaknesses. So let's learn your strengths and your more favored task. Going back to the sports world, think about football. Football has a quarterback, but he can only throw the ball. Other pieces or parts or team members he has to depend upon are blockers, tight ends, receivers. Everybody needs to work together as a team to gain yardage and achieve the final goal. In football, it's 6 points. Then the kicker comes out and gets another 1 point. This is a team working together. Here's the key part. They're working together doing different tasks to achieve the same outcome. They do not work alongside each other, but they do operate together as a team. Aboard your boat, you'll practice together. You'll practice docking, anchoring, navigating, launching the dinghy, and cruising along, and you'll discover who does what better, and then you build your teamwork to become a confident cruising couple.
Now, I want to say many of you that are listening, you have great goals in mind to do the loop. Some of the people who are looping are probably underway already and maybe even aren't able to listen to the live broadcast. But if you're thinking about doing this, you probably have set a target date. You've been dreaming about this for a long time. You think that in a year or 2 years or whatever your calendar is, that you'll set out to buy a boat to do the loop. We want you to please consider getting your boat long before your departure date that you set. Because I can't tell you how many of our friends and clients who have done the loop or are in the process of doing the loop will tell us afterwards, we rushed right into it and we retired and a month later we had the boat and there we started going a week after we had the boat. Sometimes you need a little bit more time to learn to work together, to learn about what strengths each of you have and to learn about what favored tasks you have. So just want you to think about that as you're planning. Make that part of your planning that you build in time to learn to work together as a team, okay? We go back to the sports analogy. They've had the NFL strike, and some of the players haven't even been practicing, and it's going to be hard for them to all of a sudden jump together and work together as a team. You need the time to practice, 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 practice. We'll say that a few more times just in case you didn't get it. So if you don't have your boat yet, and you don't even know what boat you're going to get, or you think you know what kind of boat you want to get, you might want to see about spending time aboard some friends' boats, maybe meet some other loopers, or you can come with us on our boat, because that's what we do. We teach you about what works as a couple and maybe what doesn't. And you can figure out, before you actually buy that boat, what it is that works for you.
Can I ask a question? Hello?
We have a question?
Can I ask? Yeah.
Go ahead.
It sounds like you're really focused on people who have never boated before. I would think that people who have been boating together for a while would kind of have an idea of who does what better and how they're going to get along on the water and things like that. Is that true or no?
Well, you might think that. And I'm glad you brought that up, because just Tuesday of this week, we spent time with a woman who has been cruising for over 15 years, up and down a very small portion of the Intercoastal and on the lakes of Georgia. She's got a friend with her, and they're going to be going over to the Bahamas. And we worked with them to show them how to work together as a couple. There were things that she said, I never even thought about. I just did it myself whenever I brought friends along. So maybe, and in my case too, for the first couple of years that Chris and I cruised together on Lake Pontchartrain, I was the boat rider and I was the galley slave. And I let him do everything else. And as I've learned over time, it probably wasn't as much fun for him relying on him for everything. It was much more enjoyable for me as I learned more about the process and learn to work together with him instead of just doing whatever he asked me to do. So that's a really good question. Chris is pointing. He wants to get his two cents in here.
Some other thoughts to help answer your question is, we're not social workers. We're a husband and wife team, and we're cruisers. And we're very knowledgeable. We're experienced professional captains. I'm from the oil field in New Orleans. And there's a lot of tricks and tips that we've learned and we'd like to share with people. These two ladies that we worked with last Tuesday, we showed them what a range light is, or a range marker to come back to the United States from the Bahamas. She had never heard of range markers and never saw one. She just didn't know anything about it. So we taught her how to use that. Other things in building cruising confidence as a couple, which is a catchphrase, we showed them how to use hand signals when anchoring, or more important, retrieving the anchor. So that way you've got a good communication, no yelling, no screaming, and you know what to do and how to do it. Other things we taught were engine room checks, just tips and tricks that just make life a little bit easier, a little bit more knowledgeable, a little bit more comfortable.
So if I can interject, I had never even gone near the engine rooms, and now we've been cruising for about 7-8 years, and it's my job to check the engine rooms. We do it every hour, and it was just something that I think as you cruise and as you gain confidence, your partner takes on more of the tasks. And I have to tell you, I love it because it's something to do each hour. It makes the time go much quicker, I think.
Absolutely. So I think to answer the question, yes, we want people who have not started cruising or maybe don't even own a boat yet to think about these things, but we want to open the eyes of those people who maybe have gotten into what could actually be some dangerous ruts. If they're going to go cruising for a long term and they think they know their roles, they need to maybe think about expanding their roles a little bit more to make the entire loop a much more fun adventure and a safe adventure. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Great, great.
Okay, where are you calling from?
This is Beth.
Oh, Beth.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Beth.
Hey, how are you?
Okay, great. Okay, so that said, Chris is going to talk about some of the tasks to think about.
Again, back to the teamwork process and what we just did this past Tuesday with these two ladies. By the way, she has a 38-foot Bayliner, twin-engine, no bow thruster. So we showed them some tricks to help it be easier and less stressful for docking and anchoring and for navigating. But I'm going to talk about some of the obvious tasks. By using the word obvious, I'm thinking about things that people see. So many times you've got somebody behind the scenes in a desk doing a lot of work, but you don't know what they're doing. I'm talking about the obvious tasks like helmsman, deckhand, engine room inspections, spare parts inventory, groceries, and cooking. And these are all visible tasks, and I say you can see somebody doing that. And in the team concept with a helmsman or a deckhand, who is better suited to be the helmsman or better suited to be the deckhand? Think about the deckhand. You might need somebody that's a little spunkier to run around the dock. Pardon me, run around the deck, run around the dock. And think about locking. If you've got somebody driving the boat, then you need somebody to tie the boat at the stern, tie the boat at the bow, maybe even midships. And as the water goes up and down in the lock, you need to go back and forth and adjust those lines. Where you might think that the deckhand's got to be a little bit more spry. I'm afraid to use the word athletic, but more comfortable moving around on the deck. While the helmsman has to have the skills and the gift to feel when you put the boat in gear, is it going to jump or is it going to move slowly? Is it going to turn right or turn left? Things like that.
And you know, that gift doesn't just always come from inside of you. You have to practice. And that's where we're talking about. Don't jump right in as soon as you buy that boat and start on your 5,000-plus-mile trip. Practice. Practice a bunch. The person who's at the wheel right now on your boat didn't just start out good. They practiced at it. And I'm sure you probably have a few fun stories along the way to talk about that. So Chris talked about some of the visible tasks. Oh, he's pointing to spare parts inventory. Go ahead.
This is something else, and as we all evolve from land dwellers to cruisers, sometimes you might have a partner on the boat says, we need to do this, we need to do that. And in the meantime, I'm down the dock talking to somebody, listening to their problems, learning what their problems are, but more important to me and to us, I'm learning what their solutions are. So I might figure out I'm going to buy one or two spare parts for that just in case, and I'm going to figure out how he went about doing the owner repair, so it'll make my learning curve that much easier. Just a couple of ideas to think about for spare parts. We've got a friend here in Vero Beach that came back from their three-month vacation in the Bahamas. They came back after 3 days. And I asked them, who died? I mean, it's rude to ask, but who died?
Why did you come back so soon?
They said, our engine died. I said, well, what happened? And he said, my freshwater recirculating pump bearings froze and the whole engine died. And these are seasoned cruisers on a sailboat, and I asked the question, didn't you have a spare? And they looked at me and said, we do now.
Yeah, so
you've got to think about those kind of things too. And again, that's part of the teamwork process where I might be off having fun talking to other people on the dock about their problems and their solutions. It's a learning process for me. And then I bring that back to our team. And then hopefully we're not going to have our three-month vacation ruined because I didn't have a spare freshwater recirculating pump, which is about a $300 item. and we have one on board our boat, and I'm glad to say we've had it on board our boat for 20 years.
Oh, knock wood, knock wood.
But those are some of the things that I'm thinking about that I see and that I do, and Elise is going to talk about the invisible work.
Yeah, this invisible stuff. Are there little gnomes that do these tasks? I learned very quickly, no. I became the gnome in some of those cases. But I want to stress this. I had grown up around boats as a boat rider, as the child. Then when we got married, we had small boats, and I was the boat rider. And then when we got the larger boat that was going to be something we could start cruising with, our first boat was a 34-foot Down East lobster boat, I started realizing there was a lot more to the, than just bringing the groceries aboard and taking care of that. And in order for it to be fun for both of us, we had to share these tasks. So I had to think about what is behind the scenes. Why do we need so many of those spare parts? My goodness, I couldn't believe how much spare parts he was bringing aboard when we were going on our first big cruise. So you have to think about what are you going to bring aboard, what's going to make you happy. And that's kind of an invisible and intangible thing. But for me, the kind of things that made me happy, obviously, on the surface, were things. Like I liked my glass. Wine glasses. I like to bring my china aboard. I met a woman who even liked to bring her weaving loom aboard. I meet many women who love to sew. They have their sewing machine aboard. But what I also learned is I like the boat to run. So if the boat runs, it's because we have all these spare parts and spare filters and spare this and spare that aboard. So we have to think about what do you have room for to keep the boat floating, to keep the boat moving through the water, and to keep the people who are on the boat happy people. So the invisible work includes those things, but also making long-term marina reservations. And that's where talking to people on the dock really helps, too, because you can learn where did they stay, what did they like, why did they like to come to Harbor Isles and Fort Pierce, right? And so you need to talk about that. Then things like learning about the hot spots in your upcoming ports of call, learning about that maybe in Fort Pierce there's a farmer's market every Saturday or there's a bike night on Thursday, or when you go to Charleston, learning about their great restaurants, or when you go up into New York City that maybe you might want to stay over on the Jersey side. I'm a Jersey girl. I'm a little biased that way. And then take a water taxi over to the city. But you're going to learn about the hot spots. You're going to learn about preventive maintenance. That's kind of invisible work. The things that maybe cleaning your water, your sea strainers, to make sure that your air conditioning still keeps working. And then the invisible things like where to store your vacuum cleaner if you have carpet on your boat. Where are your hiding places for all your little things? How do you coordinate your mail and your bills as you go along the way? Granted, the Internet has made it very convenient for us. But these are all just things to think about and work through before you get going and agree to it. Because, you know, if all of a sudden I throw something on him that this is what we're doing and he didn't understand it or know about it, it might take a little bit more convincing than if we work together along the way on it. So how do you decide who does what and what your favored jobs are, your favored tasks? Well, probably some of it comes from what you did before you started cruising, what your jobs were, who did what then, your past experiences, and like Chris talked to before, your physical stamina. How much do you have the ability to throw a line or turn a steering wheel? And just think about that. It doesn't always have to be your traditional role of man behind the wheel, woman at the lines. It could obviously be the other way around, and sometimes it's just taking turns. So Chris is going to talk about a few examples right now, unless we have any questions. No questions?
No, I don't think so.
Go ahead.
Okay, some examples to consider. And again, we're talking about building teamwork. So the first question is, who's going to drive the boat? Who is the helmsman? Who is the anchor retriever? A lot of times it's a lot easier and more comfortable to be at the helm and just push the fuel control levers, the engine levers, forward and reverse, neutral, while the guy assumably is the more stronger person up there wrestling with the anchor. So you may assume that the lady is the helmsman and the guy is the anchor retriever. Just the task. You just have to figure out which person is better or more comfortable doing the task. Again, helmsman or deckhand. When you're bringing the boat into the dock, a lot of these boats are 30 feet and larger. Our boat that we have is a 44-foot trawler named Sandy Hook, and it's 36 tons. So when we're approaching a dock, how much glide do you have? And then when you get close to the dock, how much engine RPMs in reverse are you going to need to slow the boat down or stop the boat without jerking the deckhand off of the boat or knocking them down to the deck?
Yeah, I don't like that when that happens, so we practice.
So depth perception and then also timing. So sometimes it's the man that might have those skills, sometimes it's the lady that may have those skills. But you just have to take the blue work and the pink work and just throw that out the window and let the better person do the job that they're more skilled handling. Diesel odor on your hands. Sometimes you have to go down and change a fuel filter. Raycor is a more popular brand of fuel filter, but we were working with one couple where the fuel filters were not easily accessible, and the lady of the boat was smaller, and it was easier for her to crawl across the engine room to access the fuel filters. So it became her job. The gentleman on the boat, her husband, it required him to take the long route to go around the engine, around the transmission, move a couple of spare boxes of spare oil and spare parts to access the Raycores, where it was easier for the wife just to crawl across the front of the engine, and she's there that quickly. So then you're looking at ease, you're looking at accessibility, and then for some ladies you're looking at the diesel fuel stinky smell on her hands.
But something we learned from another cruiser, a gentleman who did a lot of work on his engines. He didn't like the smelly diesel smell in his hands either, so he just had a box of gloves in his engine room. And that was a very simple solution to taking care of that. Every day, you'd never know that that man worked in the engine room.
He got a box.
The kind of gloves that doctors wear?
Yeah, you can get them at Walmart or the CVS or Walgreens. You can get a box of them, of latex gloves. Hopefully you don't.
That took care of the odor?
Yeah, it takes care of getting the oil on your hand.
Yeah.
Fuel
That's
on
great.
Your hand. So then it's a lot easier to deal with it later.
Janice?
Uh-huh.
Okay, you've got the answer to this question. If you need to buy latex rubber gloves to keep the diesel fuel off your hands, there's one of three places you can go, and they're known as the three
W's of cruising. Come on, you know the answer.
No, I don't.
Oh, it's Walmart, Walmart, Walgreens, and West Marine.
I was going to say West Marine and Walmart. I didn't get Walgreens.
The Walgreens is for our prescriptions, because, you know, as we get older, we all need all our prescriptions as we're traveling.
But, again, that's funny, and it's also true, but in the case of this couple, she had to do the dirty, stinky work.
But she couldn't fit.
Steve has that problem often. He is so tall that one of the reasons we have the boat that we do is because he can stand up in the engine room.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a big consideration when you're buying a boat is, can you access the engines?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for the women who are listening who think, well, I'm not going to be in the engine room, so that doesn't matter to me, you never know. One day you may end up, just like you didn't think you'd be doing engine room checks, but you're doing them now and you're enjoying it, right?
I do. I really do.
Yep.
I have to go back to Walmart for a minute.
Sure.
We were staying in Belhaven in North Carolina, which is a beautiful little town, and needed to get some supplies. We actually rented a car and drove an hour just to go to Walmart. It was our big adventure of the week.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I was in Belhaven, and my GPS had broken. Fortunately, it was in warranty, so I took it off of the boat, I dinghied to shore. We anchored. I dinghied to shore, walked up and said, where's the post office? And the lady said, it's that way, about 3 miles. I said, all right. I said, where's the easiest way for me to thumb a ride? She said, walk on this road. She gave me the name of the road. So I started walking, and, of course, I had my boat bag. Everybody's got that big canvas bag with the big straps on it. Mm-hmm. And I'm walking along the road, and this van stopped by and said, you're on a boat? I said, yes, sir. He said, where you headed? Post office. I said, hop in. He was a painting contractor, so obviously they have people from time to time that need a ride here, there, and yonder, and I was fortunate enough that he stopped and gave me a lift. But
that's great.
He couldn't stick around, so I had to walk home.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But that was fine. The exercise was good because we've been on the boat for so long, I enjoyed the exercise walking in the country. It was a great afternoon. Mm-hmm.
Just one quick reminder, if anyone has any questions on anything that Chris and Elise have talked about, please do call in. It's 877-497-1815. Even if you just have a comment that you'd like to share with us, that would be great.
Okay. Also, Janice, I wanted to let you know that I'm going to post the notes that we have from this radio blog, and I'll put them on the daily forum, the AGLCA daily forum.
Oh, thank you.
So that if anybody has any other questions, there'll be a link then that they can, obviously they can email us and ask any more questions. We're always happy to help out. And as they say, no question is silly. There's all kinds of things that people come up with. And sometimes we even learn from some of the questions that people give us.
Well, thank you.
So what we've talked about today, I know we're starting to get close to our time, are just a few of the items to discuss with each other so that you can build your team and build your cruising confidence as a couple. We would love to help you with any of your plans to start looping. And if you don't have a boat yet, just come on aboard ours and you can start practicing and start learning about what it is that you like about our boat and what you don't like about our boat so that you can find the perfect boat for you. And then Janice has invited us to come to the rendezvous, and we don't know yet what we're going to be talking about, but she's going to let us next week.
We'll get to that next week, Elise, I promise.
And we will be at the Fall Rendezvous in Joe Wheeler State Park. So if you haven't registered yet, I know Janice can tell you how to do that.
Just go to our website and click on events and the Fall Rendezvous, and there's a link. You can just sign up that way. You can come to the rendezvous. You can also sign up for the rendezvous with our special rendezvous T-shirt. But just, you know, please do sign up early. Joe Wheeler always sells out, and it's just so hard to tell people they can come. So if you are planning on coming, please do sign up early. Make sure you get your marina reservations or your lodge reservations because, again, they fill up very, very early. Chris and Elise, thank you so much. I really appreciate your input. We do have some news. Beth, do you want to talk about our contest that we're starting next week?
On our contest, yes. We're going to start, we're going to come up with a list of questions, maybe 4 or 5 to start with, then we're going to each week ask a question, and the first person who calls in with the right answer is going to get, if they're not a member, a free 1-year membership, and if they are a member, a free 1-year renewal. So you're going to have to listen in and be able to call in with the correct answer, and you can win a free year. And that's going to start, next week.
And I would encourage you, visit our webpage and read everything you can because the questions will come from something to do with the webpage so that if you're a frequent visitor, you'll I won't say be guaranteed, but you'll have a much better chance of knowing the answer. I have some exciting news about next week's show. Those of you who tried to listen last week, we had some technical problems when we tried to replay Captain Sterling Kennedy's show from several weeks ago on things that will break on your boat. Well, Captain Sterling Kennedy is going to come back next week, and he's going to be talking about what he recommends you bring on your loop cruise and what you shouldn't bother bringing. It's going to be an interesting segment, so please do dial in. If you'd like to become a member, there's a link on our webpage at www.greatloop.org. Just go to the left-hand menu and click on Join Now. And these shows are always archived on our webpage. So if you'd like to re-listen to anything or missed a segment, feel free to dial in. Chris and Elise, thanks again very, very much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Janice, I've got one last note.
Sure.
We didn't have many people that were able to call in today, so ask everybody who's listening to this on the Blogspot Radio to look at or look for us at the Fall Rendezvous in Rogersville, Alabama. We'll be there, Elise and myself, and we'll have a booth, and we're eager and glad to answer any and every question you've got. And if you can't wait until October to ask us, then look on the webpage, CaptainChrisYachtServices.com. Send us an email, or you can get our phone number from the webpage and call us on the phone. We're glad to help. Any question, please ask.
Thank you again for that, Chris and Elise. It was good talking with you. Goodbye, all listeners, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.